Hey everybody, Josh Peck here. The global elite want Image of the Beast technology to save their new world order vision. This is a brand new story, just came out. We're going to be talking about that. Comes from the Seattle Times and other sources. We're going to be talking about that. If you haven't had a chance, make sure you subscribe. Click on the bell for notifications. Very important that you do so. And I would like to welcome you to the Last Days Warrior Conspiracy Summit. Access is now available. This is not a conference where you have to fly and get a hotel and do all that. You sign right up on the website. There is a link in the description below. You sign up right on the website and you get access to videos that you can't find anywhere else. Not only videos, but with your access, you also get free PDFs, MP3 series from some of the foremost experts in the world of conspiracy, especially, you know, from a Christian worldview. So I contributed an hour and a half teaching on Leviathan, the source of all conspiracy. We get into all that, but you also get speakers such as Jared Kressman, Thomas Dunn, Gary Wayne, we just had him on recently, Troy Anderson, Carl Teichrib, Mark Sutherland, Derek Gilbert, and much more. So you're going to want to check that out. Click on the link in the description below, Last Days Warrior Summit, and you can get access there. So you're going to want to check that out. So the Seattle Times just put out this story, facing populist assault, global elites regroup in Davos, Switzerland. So as the world's financial and political elites convene there in the Swiss Alps for the World Economic Forum, their vision of ever closer commercial and political ties is under attack, and the economic outlook is darkening. Of course, they have to hold on their grasp on the world. They're globalists. That's what they do. But Britain's political system has been thrown into chaos as the country negotiates a messy divorce from the European Union. And under President Donald Trump, the United States is imposing trade sanctions on friend and foe alike. And the government is paralyzed by a partial shutdown over immigration policy that forced our president and a high-level U.S. delegation to cancel the trip to Davos. Now, a year after getting a standing ovation from the elites at Davos, French President Emmanuel Macron is plummeting in the polls as he contends with yellow vest protesters who have taken to the streets and call for higher wages and fairer pensions. Nationalist political movements are gaining strength across Europe. And we've even talked about on this channel the possibility that Emmanuel Macron might turn out to be the Antichrist. We've talked about that possibility. Or at least a precursor to the Antichrist. If you want, go back in an earlier Peck report. I think we laid out over 20 reasons, over 20 parallels on how this individual might be the Antichrist. We've also talked about other figures, other popular figures today, other contenders for this position. But keep in mind, every generation has had an Antichrist figure. You know, Scripture tells us there's many Antichrists. But now the economic backdrop is worrying. So experts are downgrading their forecasts for global growth this year amid a rising interest rate and tensions over trade. So Michael Hewson, who's the chief market analyst of CMC Markets UK, said, quote, judging by the state of the world right now, 10 years on from the financial crisis and the dysfunctional state of global politics, I would suggest that these annual events have achieved the sum total of a diddly squat, end quote. Yeah, that seems like a very apt way to describe it. Now, the collective worries, they've sent a shudder through global financial markets. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down nearly 9% from October 3rd. David Dollar, who's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute, said the buckling market, quote, represents a lot of anxiety that we're seeing from the corporate elite who meet at Davos, end quote. But, you know, times, of course, have changed. Now, for the most of the past quarter century, the worldview symbolized by the World Economic Forum of ever freer world trade and closer ties between countries has dominated. Then came a backlash from Americans and Europeans whose jobs were threatened by low-wage competition from countries like China, who felt alienated at home by wealth inequality and immigration. Now, in 2016, U.S. voters elected Trump, who advocated restricting immigration and scaling back free trade, and the British chose to leave the EU. So Paul Sheard says, quote, the winners from globalization have had the megaphone. Now, Paul Sheard is a senior fellow at the Mosifer Ramani Center for Business and Government at Harvard University's Kennedy School. So again, he said, quote, the winners from globalization have had the megaphone. The losers have been somewhat silent, but now are starting to express themselves through the ballot box and through the political process, end quote. So this Davos confab has always been vulnerable to snark, because, you know, hedge fund billionaires flying in into Davos in these fuel guzzling private jets to discuss the threat of climate change is kind of ironic. It's kind of hypocritical. And millionaire CEOs discussing inequality while, you know, downing cocktails, endless conversations between people who describe themselves as thought leaders, you know. There's a lot of snark that can come from that, of course. Now, for and listen, I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything wrong with some people having a lot of money and other people not having any money. I don't think that makes every rich person greedy. I don't think that that's really how it works at all. You know, it's actually, it goes back to what's called Price's Law. It's almost you could almost think of it as a law of nature. This happens all the time, where you're going to get, you know, the highest holders of something at the very top, and there's not going to be many of those. And then you're going to get a lot people who have less, or a lot entities who hold less at the bottom. You even see this in star formations, the size of stars, the height of trees. It's just the way that nature works. So that in itself isn't necessarily wrong, but there are some of the elite who genuinely are trying to control the world. They are trying to get this new world order thing going, which they've been succeeding in, and it's going quite rapidly. And of course, greed and pride are a part of that. But it's something that we need to keep our eye on. Now, first among them, the WEF founder Klaus Schwab, in an interview, this was just last Sunday, he stressed the need for more global forward-looking cooperation and a human-centered approach to technology as populism feeds on fears of a possible economic downturn in many parts of the globe. So that's how he described it. So, you know, according to what the Seattle Times is saying, you know, it says that globalization produced millions of so-called winners over the years, but also has left certain people behind. And Schwab has said this as well. He said this at the Davos Conference Center, where his teams gave pre-event tours to delegations ahead of the formal start on Tuesday. So he said, quote, in the age of social media, you cannot afford any more to leave anyone behind, end quote. Now, according to them, and again, this is their ideology. This is like kind of the way the globalist mindset. You know, we should all be equal. We should all, you know, have equality of outcome, which is very different than equality of opportunity. Equality of opportunity, that's the way to go. I mean, that will just by nature, you're going to have some people that don't earn as much. You're going to have some people that won't work as hard. Am I saying that everybody that doesn't earn as much, is it because they don't work as hard? No, of course not. You have to take it on a case by case basis. But just broadly, when you look at the entire picture of the thing, of the structure, you're going to have that type of structure where, you're going to have people who don't make as much on the bottom, and you're going to have a lot of people or you're going to have a small amount of people who make most of the money at the top. But the thing that we usually don't hear is a big reason that that's not fair is a big reason why that is fair, even though people say that it's not fair. Anybody from the bottom can work up to the top. You know, there's not really anything stopping anybody from doing that, because it's happened. I mean, how many rags to riches stories have you heard? There have been a lot of billionaires, and also that top 1% is always changing. The individuals are always changing. There could come a time in your life where you're in the 1% for a year, and then you're not anymore. It changes. It flows. So that's something to keep in mind too. But Access to the elite gathering for business people, anyway. It doesn't come cheap. It requires WEF membership, which starts at 60,000 Swiss francs. That's just a little over $60,000 American dollars. And it rises up to strategic partner level at 600,000 Swiss francs, or about 602,000 US dollars. So getting into the Davos event requires an invitation and an extra fee, which WEF spokesman Oliver Kahn has said is 27,000 francs, or about $2,700 in US dollars per person. But that's just for the corporate chieftains. So civil society, non-governmental groups, UN leaders and governmental officials, they don't pay. They get in for free. Lodging during this high-rent Davos week is a whole other matter altogether. But although Davos is seen as a readout for global elites, populists have come too. So Trump actually got a polite reception when he showed up in 2018, and he had planned to come again this year before the shutdown intervened. Brazil's newly installed president, the populist Jair Bolsonaro, he'll attend apparently this year. But even with some key Western leaders missing, organizers say a record 300 government ministers and nearly 60 heads of state or government, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel and Prime Minister Shinzo Abe of Japan, will attend. About 3,000 people, attendees overall, are expected this week. So what Davos does, you know, this is kind of how it's put out there, is that Davos serves as a global stage for world leaders and executives, and the conference center transforms into a warren of public and private meetings. Executives talk possible deals. Government leaders either, you know, meet and greet each other or seek to iron out differences. Usually this is done quietly behind the scenes. Academics and chiefs of non-governmental groups speak out in webcast panel sessions or comb corridors, looking to rub elbows with decision makers. This is where a lot of deals are done. So Shirt is even said, quote, "They make the trek up to Davos, yes, to drink champagne and to wheel and deal and everything else. But there is sort of an attempt at purifications and thinking we need to do a better job," end quote. Now, when they say we need to do a better job at what? Pushing the globalist agenda, of course. And, of course, this has very much to do with the end time scenario we see in the Book of Revelation. So a lot of people are looking to the UN, and they're sort of reading the UN into Bible prophecy. And I'm not saying there's not a role for the UN. That might be very well how the global idea, it really gets its legs. But I think conventions like this, organizations like Davos and all this stuff, this is where stuff gets done too. So we don't want to just focus on one thing and not the other. So Gabriel Stern, who's the head of global macro research at Oxford Economics, argues that top economic decision makers have much to atone for, according to her. So in a report this month, Stern noted that most major economies performed dramatically worse than expected after the 2007 to 2009 Great Recession. And he blames many central banks besides the U.S. Federal Reserve for not responding to sluggish growth more aggressively with easy money policies. And Stern says politicians should have juiced growth with tax cuts and higher government spending. I personally think the absolute opposite is true. I think if we get rid of regulations, get rid of the strangleholds on companies, and allow the free market to do what it's designed to do, what it's going to do naturally, that would take care of a lot of this. But the problem with that is that's an anti-globalist agenda. You know, more free market means more individual freedom, less control from the elite, and the elite aren't going to have that. That's why they're all globalists. And so, you know, except Trump's not really a globalist at all, but that's why we see that trend, and that's why they have to kind of flip this and twist this script for the globalist agenda to say, well, there's this disparity, you know, we're leaving people at the bottom disparaged. But how many of them are willing to actually give up their money to pull some of these families out of poverty? It just doesn't work like that. That's not the way that this works. What really should be done is more churches and charity organizations should get involved. This should not be a government thing, because the more we get the government involved in these things, the more control they have over us. So that is a bad idea. That, I think, is what will usher in the one world government. And I think we're seeing the beginnings of that now. So Stern says, quote, there was a genuine underperformance by the big institutions. If you don't do anything about your failings, they can come back and bite you, end quote. So Stern apparently worries that the populist response, quote, could trigger radical and ill-conceived, end quote, policies that overshoot and drive up inflation and swell government budget deficits. You know, I say if you're worried about the government budget or you're worried that the government isn't going to be able to get enough money, shut down some things. Do we really need the EPA? You know, there's many branches of the government or many tendrils of the government, maybe is a better word, that we could shut down and we wouldn't miss. I think that this government shutdown, if it's taught us anything, it's that it is actually true. You would be surprised how little of the government you miss when it's not there anymore. Seattle Times continues to say this ride could get even bumpier. The World Economic Forum is focused on what it calls the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is a series of rapid advances in technology and medicine expected to transform society. Advances in robotics and artificial intelligence could further threaten jobs and feed the populist revolt. So Sherd said, quote, we seem to be on the cusp of an incredible new era of automation and critical breakthroughs in health sciences, but how do we manage this process? How do we manage it in a way that doesn't leave millions of people behind, end quote. The answer is simple. You let the free market take care of that. It will take care of it. That is the answer. And then it is the more freedom an individual has, freedom from the government. I don't mean freedom granted by the government. I mean freedom away from the government, where the government isn't getting involved. The more freedom an individual has, the more opportunity they're going to have to get out of poverty if they find themselves in that situation. They'll have more opportunity there. But this is the globalist agenda. This is what will lead to a one world government, one world religion even can sprout from that too. We read about that in scripture and the rise of the Antichrist and all of that. So I would like to know what you think. But before I ask some questions, I would like to invite you to the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas. I also have a link to this in the description below. Click on that link, get your tickets today. It's going to sell out fast. I don't know for sure if they still have tickets. I think they do, but I think that they're selling very quick. So you're going to want to get them now. But you got lots of great speakers. L.A. Marzulli is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Gary Wayne is speaking there. That's going to be a lot of fun. Stephen Bancars, actually me and Stephen Bancars are doing a talk together on our book, The Second Coming of the New Age. So we'll be there. It's going to be a blast. You can click on the link below to get your tickets and to check out the speakers and everything like that. Make sure you use that link and you will get, if you use the promo code Josh20, you will get you'll get $20 off your ticket. So isn't that great? So make sure you do that. And I do believe they have live streaming available as well. So you can do that, and I believe it's the same thing. Promo code Josh20. Use the link in the description below, or just go to hearthewatchmen.com. All right, I want to know what you think. Are the global elite, are they wanting to use Image of the Beast technology to save their New World Order vision? What are your thoughts about this? I'd love to read them in the comment section. Leave a comment in the comment section below. And thank you so much for joining me. Make sure you subscribe, make sure you share, and keep checking joshpeckdisclosure.com every day. You're going to get new information there, things that you have not seen the day before. So make sure you check every day. The website is updated daily. All right, everybody, this has been Peck Report. I, of course, am your host, Josh Peck. Till next time, take care and God bless.